Welcome to Listen To. This is Ted. The news was published on Friday, September 27th. Today we're joined by Eric and Kate to discuss a groundbreaking diabetes treatment. Let's dive right in. What are the key details of this new treatment?
Well, Ted, this is truly mind-blowing stuff. We're talking about a 25-year-old woman in Tianjin, China, who's basically been cured of type 1 diabetes. Using her own cells. They took her cells, turned them into personalized stem cells, and then used those to grow fresh islets. It's like giving her pancreas a total makeover.
Hold your horses, Eric. While it sounds like something out of a sci-fi movie, we shouldn't be popping champagne just yet. Let's break down what these islets actually are for our listeners.
Fair enough, Kate. You're right. We should explain. Islets are like tiny factories in your pancreas and liver that pump out hormones to keep your blood sugar in check. In this groundbreaking procedure, they grew new islets.
Exactly, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. This is just one case, Eric. We can't start calling it a cure for everyone with type 1 diabetes based on a single success story. That's like saying you've solved world hunger.
I get where you're coming from, Kate, but you can't deny the results are pretty jaw-dropping. This woman has been making her own insulin for over a year now. Her blood sugar control went from being a roller coaster to a smooth ride.
Numbers can be misleading, Eric. Sure, they look good on paper, but we need to consider the long-term effects and potential risks. It's not all sunshine and rainbows in the world of experimental treatments.
You both raise interesting points. Now let's discuss the significance of this treatment method. How does it differ from previous approaches?
The game changer here, Ted, is where they put these new islets. In the past, they'd stick them in the liver, which was like trying to keep an eye on a needle in a haystack. But now, they're placing them just under the abdomen. It's genius. They can actually see what's going on with an MRI. It's like giving these islets their own little observation deck.
Well, that's a cute analogy, Eric. We shouldn't overlook a crucial detail. This patient was already on immunosuppressant drugs for a liver condition. That could have played a huge role in why this
You've
worked.
Got a point there, it's Kate. Like, but here's the thing. Using a patient's own cells might be the golden ticket to ditching those harsh immunosuppressants in future treatments. It's like your body getting a
slow down, cowboy. We don't know that for sure yet. We need way more research and trials before we start making such bold claims. It's irresponsible to give people false hope.
Let's put this breakthrough into perspective. Can you think of a similar historic event in medical research that we can compare this to?
Oh, absolutely. This reminds me of the discovery of insulin for diabetes treatment back in 1921 by Frederick Banting and Charles Best. Talk about a game changer. It was like finding a fire extinguisher when the whole world was burning. Millions of lives were saved because of that breakthrough.
While that was indeed a significant moment in medical history, I think a more apt comparison would be the first successful bone marrow transplant in 1956 by E. Donald Thomas.
It's interesting choice, Kate. Can you elaborate on why you think that's a better comparison? I'm all ears.
Gladly, Eric. Like this new diabetes treatment, bone marrow transplants also involve stem cells. They completely revolutionized how we treat blood cancers and other disorders. But here's the kicker. It took years of research and refinement before it became a standard treatment. It wasn't an overnight success story, which is exactly what we're looking at with this diabetes breakthrough.
I see your point, but I still think the insulin discovery is more relevant. Both insulin and this new treatment directly address diabetes management. It's like comparing apples to apples, while your bone marrow example
True, but
is
the
more
bone
like...
marrow transplant comparison highlights the challenges of translating a breakthrough into widespread clinical use. It's not just about the science, Eric. It's about the long, bumpy road from lab to patient.
Both examples provide valuable context. Now let's consider the potential impact. How might this discovery change diabetes treatment in the future?
Ted, this could be the beginning of the end for daily insulin injections. Just imagine a world where type 1 diabetes patients produce their own insulin again. It's like giving them back the pancreas they were meant to have. We're talking about a complete game changer here.
That's overly optimistic, Eric. We're still far from making this treatment widely available or affordable. It's like you're promising everyone a flying car when we've barely got the prototype off the ground.
But the potential is there, Kate. This could drastically improve quality of life for millions of people with type 1 diabetes. We're talking about freeing people from the constant worry of blood sugar levels.
While that's a noble goal, We need to be realistic about the time and resources required to make this treatment accessible to the masses. It's not just about the science, it's about logistics, cost, and infrastructure. We can't ignore these practical challenges.
Let's look ahead. What are two distinct ways this breakthrough might unfold in the coming years?
I've got a vision, Ted. Within a decade, we could see personalized stem cell treatments available in major hospitals worldwide. It'll be like getting a tune-up for your pancreas. You walk in with type 1 diabetes and you walk out producing your own insulin. It's not just a pipe dream. It's the future of medicine.
Talk about pie in the sky. That's incredibly optimistic and unrealistic. A more likely scenario is that this remains an experimental treatment for years, with limited availability due to high costs and technical complexities. It's like
you're being too pessimistic,
everyone.
Kate. Look at how quickly COVID-19 vaccines were developed and distributed. With proper funding and focus, we could see rapid advancements. It's all about prioritizing.
The COVID-19 situation was unique, Eric. Diabetes research doesn't have the same urgency or global resources behind it. It's apples and oranges. We can't expect the same breakneck speed of development.
Both scenarios are possible. Now let's consider the ethical implications. What challenges might arise as this treatment develops?
The main challenge, Ted, will be ensuring equal access to the treatment. We need to find ways to make it affordable and available to all who need it, not just the wealthy. It's like developing a miracle cure and then keeping it under lock and key. That's not right. We need to break down those barriers and make sure everyone gets a fair shot at this treatment.
That's a valid point, but there are other concerns too. What about the long-term effects of manipulating stem cells? We could be opening a Pandora's box of unforeseen health issues. It's like playing God with our cellular makeup.
While caution is necessary, we can't let fear hold back progress. The potential benefits far outweigh the risks. Think about all the lives we could improve, all the suffering we could prevent. We have a moral obligation.
That's easy to say when you're not the one taking those risks. We need extensive long-term studies before widely implementing this treatment. It's not just about the immediate effects, but what might happen 10, 20, or 30 years down the line. We can't gamble with people's lives.
But every day we delay, more people suffer from the complications of diabetes. We have a responsibility to move forward cautiously, but quickly. It's like standing on the shore with a life raft while watching people drown.
Moving quickly is what leads to disasters in medical research. We need to prioritize safety over speed. It's not about being first, it's about being right. We can't afford to cut corners.
Thank you both for this insightful discussion. It's clear that while this breakthrough offers immense potential, it also raises important questions about implementation, access, and safety. As research progresses, we'll undoubtedly see more debates like this one. Thanks for tuning in to Listen 2.